Hey, Dyke. So we're here tonight. We've got a great show planned, and I'm excited about it because you and I were chatting about stories that we hear from our friends and our clients. And so tell everybody, because it was your idea, and thank you, what our show is about tonight.
Our show is about toxic relationships, and this has come up over the last several weeks with people I've been talking to, and every time the subject would come up, I'd think, oh, man, this is something that we really need to talk about on the show because there's so many people who struggle with a relationship and not understanding that it's sometimes it's literally making you sick. And I've been in that situation. I don't think you've had it so much because you can see it easily. I think you see it better than most people do, and you get yourself out of it. But I know a lot of clients are calling you. I mean, you've got clients who've probably been calling you for years with the same issue with the same person, and they just won't remove themselves from that relationship. And it gets to the point where it can be detrimental to your health. It's an effect on your whole body. It's that your emotions are always in upset, and it affects you physically. And at a certain point, I know I have started manifesting actual physical symptoms when I've been in a relationship that just wasn't healthy for me. And it's not that the other person is toxic. It's that you're toxic to each other sometimes. It's not like you're, you know, I mean, there are definitely situations where you can clearly see one person or the other is the one who has a lot of issues and they're making the other person ill. But there's a lot of circumstances where it's not that one person is right and one person is wrong. It's that the way you interact together is not a healthy relationship, and it's not healthy for you. But very often, it's kind of like one person is more the aggressor, one person has the upper hand more, and so the other one is literally getting sick. The other one has anxiety all the time. They feel under pressure. They feel stressed all the time. Their self-worth is taking a beating all the time. And, you know, over a period of years, it can just really literally make you sick. And you see people, and I've talked to friends recently who are in these unhealthy relationship. And it's always so easy for us to stand on the outside and look in and say, you need to let this guy go. You need to get out of there. Get away from this woman, whatever it is, you know. But it's so hard when we're the ones who are in it. It's hard when you're in the relationship and you don't realize yourself that this relationship is not healthy for you. And I know you see that all the time. And we always change the names to protect the innocent. So, I know when you tell stories about your clients, you know, you're not using the actual names, or we may change the situation a little bit. But tell us some for instances from clients of yours that you are trying to coach through a toxic relationship, or that you've coached through in years past. Because I know you've got thousands of them, because that is the number one reason probably people call you. They're having relationship problems, and they want to know, you know, how is this going to work out? What is this person thinking? And you're trying to give them some hope that they're going to get their healthy relationship if they follow some good advice. But people don't want to do that. They don't want to change. They don't want to let somebody go who's unhealthy for them. So I'm going to turn it over to you. I know you've got dozens of great stories.
Can we start from right today and yesterday? Okay, so this is, I'll even go through, today is Tuesday, set the weekend through today. And because I hear some good ones, I hear some great ones, and I hear some funny ones, okay? And I'm appreciative of everybody, and I'm appreciative of the angels that help us all, and God, or your higher power, however you see that. So let me start with this one. This one is a good one. And so, because she's really, really trying. She may be listening tonight. And she says, Tari, my ex is just, I just found out he's probably getting married again. And she says, and I'm upset about it. I want to talk to you about it. And I had talked to her. I said this to everybody, myself included. And I know you and I have talked about it numerous occasions. If you want a new love or you want a love, then you've got to let the old go, whatever the old means mm-hmm. to you, like an old relationship, an old feeling of wanting that man or woman back, because how can you let a new man or a new woman in when you're still pining or you're angry at your ex? This doesn't work
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
would you want that man or woman that you're trying to attract in or that you have a crush on or that, you know, crushing on or you have, you know, you feel like you have some strong feelings, would you want him or her to be pining away for their ex or wanting, you know, why does their ex have somebody and they don't? And you just wouldn't. Most of us wouldn't do that. And yet when we bring this guy or girl in, okay, this new one, then, and we're still wanting our ex to suffer, okay? And sometimes suffering's okay. Die, right? We talked about that.
Right. It's beautiful. Suffering is beautiful.
Yeah. So, you know, I always say, listen, there's angels out there that are helping you. And Archangel Shamuel, which you worked with, I've worked with, who's a soulmate relationship strengthener, will help you. But if you're trying to build a relationship with somebody new, or you want somebody new, and you're still angry at the old guy or girl, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Not like you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying for every time, but mostly because your new guy or girl's not going to want to be with you if you've got all this. Imagine if he could see or she could see all that crap that's around you, what you're saying about mm-hmm. your ex or wanting your ex back. This doesn't work. So that lady. And I talked about it. So long story short, she had somebody come in that she has a crush on that she's been working on trying to develop a relationship with. So she forgot, I guess, for the moment about her ex getting married. Now she's got to focus on somebody else, right? Which is somebody she really cares about. So anyway, is that good? Yeah, it's good. And hopefully she's listening tonight because Archangel Shamuel's, out there helping us all. And then I have another one, and I told her, she says, I just want to be his friend. I said, okay. I said, if you start trying to be his friend, because we call him the shut-in, and you call him the lump. Do you remember? Remember that guy?
Yes. The lump, I remember him, yes.
So he's the shut-in, okay? That I call him the shut-in because he has a drinking problem and all these kind of problems. And she goes and sees him and tries to help him, and then, you know, and she tries to be his girlfriend, but he doesn't want a girlfriend. He wants someone that he can bitch and moan and groan to. And so she said this past weekend, she says, I called him out on a few lies, and you know what? He didn't deny it. And I said, why are you even spending that time with him doing that? I said, I told you this, and I'm sharing this with you and everybody else tonight. That'll listen now or later. Okay, hopefully they listen later or they're listening now. If you're spending time wanting to be with somebody new and yet you're entertaining the old guy that's not for you and it's a toxic relationship, he's mean, abusive, she's mean, abusive because it goes both ways, I'm going to promise you this, and this is a message I got for her specifically and I've gotten for others. The angels are going to protect your guy, your new guy coming in or your new woman coming in. It's going to protect him or her until you get ready for them. Because they're not going to let her or him come in. They're just not. I mean, you're not ready for him, right? You want to be ready for him. And I told her that. She goes, you're right. And I said, I know. I said, that's not for me. That's from the angels. I mean, if it was for me, I would say it. But that's a big, strong message that I got before. You know what I mean? And so there's a couple of them that I've had recently. And I had a man. He called me. He said, he's a good, sweet soul. I adore him. But his girlfriend, he said, is this a toxic relationship? She's so connected to her mother. Her mother broke that relationship up. I'm going to leave that alone. But you understand how that happened. And and it was just, it's so sad for him. And they both did some things, but if they could just work on it themselves, it would have been better. And her mother got her to move out. You know, so there's issues there with mom. Okay, so, you know, mom's toxic, daughter's toxic. And he says to me, calls me, says, Tari, I know she cheated on me. I talked to the neighbors who really hate her now, and they told me she cheated on me. I was like, well,
oh, wow.
Look at that. I said,
yeah, it's a little
really...
pie. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think she cheated on him, because I know how somebody had cheated on her before, and she just is not wired like that. But I do feel like those neighbors who had an axe to grind with her found a way to do you understand what I'm saying?
They retaliated.
So anyway, he's cool, and he goes, "What do I do now?" I said, "Live your life. I let it go." I said, "She's got some stuff to work out with her mom and, you know, and her family." And he goes, "Okay, I'm going to live my life." And I said, "You cannot push it. She'll come back if she wants to come back, and you may not want her, but there'll probably be an opportunity when she figures this out." You know what I mean? And sometimes people got to figure those things out, because I know we talked about this before, and we wrote about it in our book. You mean there's a law that says he's attracted to me. There are three types of relationships, soulmate relationships, karmic, twin flame, twin soul, and companion. So if you come back and you have a karmic relationship, that can be one of the toughest toxic relationships you can be in. Not only that, but sometimes twin flame, twin soul is as well. So why don't you show us about that? Because I think that if people understand that, then they can, I'll give them some couple things that they can do. So if it is a karmic relationship, you don't have to continually beat him up or beat your head against the wall. You know what I mean? So wanting it to change.
Well, the karma is the balancing. It's not like paybacks. Like, we always use it in that term, like, oh, he's going to have bad karma, and like he's going to get it, retaliation. And that's not what karma means. The karma is a balancing. So it's like when you're benevolent and you do good things for people, you will get it coming back at you. I mean, it's if you hurt someone, you'll get that same kind of pain coming back at you, not necessarily from the same person, and not necessarily in the same lifetime. And when we talk about karmic soulmates, it's from previous lifetimes. It's, you know, you've hurt someone, or you've helped someone, you've had some sort of a relationship in a previous life, and there was an imbalance between you. So maybe one person took advantage of the other, and it's like a debt kind of that you owe. It's you have to balance the scale. So coming back in this lifetime, then you're agreeing that they're going to take advantage of you now, and we're drawn to those people. We're drawn to that relationship because it's like on a soul level, we know we need to balance the karma, whether it's good or bad, or I hate to even use good or bad. It's positive or negative emotions that it elicits in you. But either way, it's still good because you're learning a lesson from it. So you get drawn to these people, and karmic relationships. I know you. I've talked about a lot, and we talked about that in the book, how it's the strongest attraction. It's like you look at this person and you're immediately attracted to them, and you think, this is true love. This has got to be the one, because I've never felt this strong of an attraction with somebody before. And it's not, because you really are attracted to them for the right reasons. It's just deep on a soul level, you are so drawn to this individual, because there's some karma there that you guys have agreed to balance in this lifetime. And so it's just like a magnet, like you're drawn together.
Right.
The attraction is immediate. The passion's hot, you know, the love is strong. And it's usually a kind of a toxic relationship for either one or both people. But there's a balancing. And however long it takes you to balance the karma, it may be a week, you know, it may be a night, it may be 20 years. But when it's finally balanced, you can let go. You go your separate ways.
Right.
And it's almost like immediate, that attraction that you felt so strongly for them, it's immediately gone. It just dissipates. And you look at this person and you say, why did I ever feel attracted to them? I don't like anything about them. You know, I don't even think they're physically attractive. I mean, you look at them and you wonder, what was it that drew you to them so strong? But it was that karma that needed balance. And as soon as it's balanced, you're done with each other. You are so done with each other.
You know, that is so true.
Can be toxic. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're right, though. They can be. But, you know, something I want to, because I have a friend of mine, and she started out as a client years ago. She came back into my life. She's still a friend and now a client. But I told you about her. She's hysterical. She goes, "Three, I've been with him for 4.5 years. And she goes, and he's up and down, and he leaves and comes back. She goes, "Do you see why I'm in therapy? I thought I would die last." Do
you see why? It's all his fault.
Yeah, it's all his fault. Well, I'm looking and we're talking today, and so this is a good karmic. He's a karmic soulmate, and she goes, "I think he is." And I go, "I agree with you on that, and you'll appreciate this." I told her, I said, "Listen," I said, "she is a woman that would like to love the finer things in life, and there's no problem with that. Okay, she's always been like that." And she goes, "Tari, he's somebody you would think I would never settle down with." Anyway, long story short, she met him in a restaurant that he owned. He sold the restaurant, and now they're together. But, she goes, "He grew up in Italy and grew up with sheep, like sheep farmer." Okay, I think I'm telling the story right. And he's not all into like looking like name brand, like South Beach, because that's where I actually met her, was in South Beach when I lived there a few years ago. And so she said, I said, "Well, maybe." I said, "I feel like it's a karmic relationship." I said, "There were times, many lifetimes, and we lived over 800. I think she told me she lived 1,001. I said, "In several different lifetimes, he's been your servant, and you've been his, I'm going to use this
master.
Word, and I don't mean it like master." That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And
owner.
And so yeah. she, mm-hmm. yeah. So, and you guys, and he's, you've rejected him and turned him out, turned him away when he pushed you too much. You've had him killed when you didn't like what he said, because he doesn't talk to her now. And I said, so, he said, she goes, "He has a hard time communicating with me." I go, "Yeah, I bet he does, because before he's been killed for it, right?" She goes, "Oh, that makes mm-hmm. sense, mm-hmm. And so I'm saying this to anybody who listens to this now or later. One of the things, and you just said it, one of the things you can do is I choose to balance the karma between us. That way you don't have to repeat the situation. You can change mm-hmm. that karmic relationship to a companion soulmate relationship where you guys can come together as companions and have each other's back, and it be a happy relationship. And I'm talking about romance, but karmic relationships can happen with brother, sister, mom, dad, whoever. Yeah, but you can change it to a companion. If you really mean this and you feel it, just say, "Hey, I choose to balance the karma between he and I, or she and I, or however you say it," and then that it will work like that. Isn't that cool? And then ask Archangel Shamuel to help you with it. I promise you. But she made me laugh so hard. So, you see why I'm in therapy. But when I'm looking at the past life of these folks, I was like, wow, there is a big karma there, because he wasn't able to talk or allowed to talk, or he would have been. Stone, however you want to say, killed.
Stone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this one's a good one, too. I got this the other day. One of my clients, she's a hairstylist. I hope I'm saying that right. She's not here in South Florida. But she told me, she goes, when I first met my husband, I just wanted to rip my clothes off and that's his brains out. Right? So I was like, that's good. And she says to me, she goes, "You know what? He was sitting in the chair the other day and I wanted to cut his throat." I was like, wow, okay. So, she goes, "No, yeah, this is my sweet woman, okay?
This is a lovely marriage."
Yeah. So I said, she goes, "I don't ever do that, but I think about it."
Okay. I think about it.
So, yeah. So we're going through the whole process with her, and coaching, and him too as well. But karmic relationship, and some of them aren't that bitter. And there's good karma too, or positive ones. You put in a lot of good work and in past lives, and you get the benefit of this lifetime. So it's positive and negative. Yeah. So I think that is so funny. But, man, we're laughing about it, but when you're going through it, it's your heart out. You've had that yourself. I know you have. And I know you went through 7 years of, and that was in your chart, your astrology chart, right? And so now you're coming out of
right.
it. You've got great love.
Yes.
So Cheryl,
that's so
how did you conquer that? Because you thought
she
was okay when you first met her, the astrologer, right?
I did, exactly. I found a couple months ago an astrology chart reading that somebody had done for me as like an in-kind service. Like I did some editing work for them, and she was an astrologer. And so she didn't have the money to pay me, and she said, "If you do this for me, I'll do your chart." And I said, "Oh, sure." I take Indian trading with people all the time, And so I did, and I I hated this thing that she made me because it was so depressing to me. I looked at it and it's like, you're going to be basically alone for 7 years. I mean, you may be in relationships, but you're going to have like 7 years of hard internal work. And, you know, at the end of the 7 year period, it's like you finally come out of it and you're free and you feel happy and you get the love you want. And, you know, at the time it was like, oh my gosh, I can't be miserable for 7 years. And I just, she'd emailed it to me and I saved it on my computer, completely forgotten about it. I was like, I'm never, not looking at that anymore. Cause I believe that we always have the power to change anything in our life. And so I looked at that and said, okay, maybe if I sat home being miserable, yeah, I could have 7 years of misery, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going out there to search for what I want. So I just, you know, forgot about this thing. And I just found it recently, and I started reading it again. And boy, she was so accurate. And it's not like I had 7 years of total misery, but boy, I had seven really tough years as far as internal analyzation and really looking at myself and really going inside of myself. So it wasn't that I was like completely alone, like a total recluse, but I was really alone in my own head. And I, you know, looked at all of my past relationships, and not just with men, but with friends, you know, family, whatever, and started analyzing myself and saying, you know, why am I drawn to this kind of a person? Why am I drawn to that person? Why does this kind of person repel me? And I started looking at my own behavior. You know, what have I done that have drawn, you know, elicited this kind of response from people? How have I handled things the wrong way? How have I put my needs first, or, you know, tried to justify my own behavior, patting myself on the back and saying, I'm trying to do the right thing, when deep down inside, we all know when we're being selfish, you know, we all know when we're really right. Just trying to get our own way and not. And so, it was a 7 year learning process. It really was. And boy, she's very accurate. So I didn't like to read it 7 years ago, but now I can look at it and go, she was right. You know, it was like a 7 year college course, and I had some difficult classes and I passed them, you know. And aww. Now I feel like, okay, I can come out of my shell again. I can be open up and be myself and enjoy everything that life has to offer. And it's not that I still don't analyze myself, but I cannot do it with so much self-scrutiny and so much negativity. It's almost like you've swallowed a critic and inside your head, and this person is scolding you all the time because you're scolding yourself. You know, it's like this harsh parent or something that you've internalized, and you're looking at yourself and you're always pointing out your own faults and pointing out your own weaknesses. And I've gone through that where I've just not hated myself, but I've really beaten myself up. And so I feel, you know, I've forgiven myself now. That's the greatest thing in the world. When you can finally look at yourself and say, you know what, I'm human. I'm not perfect. I'm not a saint. I do things wrong. I do things that are selfish motivated or ego driven. And I've made my own mistakes and I own that. And I'm not going to point the finger at somebody else. But right. I had definitely toxic relationships where I was drawn for the wrong reasons. Yeah, you know, I was drawn into that relationship for the wrong reasons. And you know, this is something I've learned, because I was talking to a young woman yesterday evening, and she's one of the people who I've talked to for several weeks, and I always think in my head, oh, we need to do a show on this, because she's in an extremely toxic relationship. Wow. And it's just, you hate to see this, and yet she is toxic herself, so I can't blame it on the guy, but she's always, it's just this constant drama. So I asked her, I said, okay, we'll call her Michelle. I said, all right, Michelle, I just want to ask you this. If this guy suddenly showed up and looking like, you know, his father, like you think he's so good looking right now, and you're so proud to be with him, you know, that's a lot of this, the attraction is, she wants to be the one on his arm because it makes her feel proud. She likes her own image when she's standing next to him. And I said, what if this guy suddenly, you know, he gained 100 pounds and he doesn't look cute anymore. I said, just imagine that, because I had seen his father. And so and he looks like his dad, only he was a bit much younger version of his dad. So I said,
wow.
Let's just time travel for a moment. He turned into his dad. So this is what this really hot young man looks like now. Do you still feel attracted to him? Will you still feel this intense longing for him? And she started laughing, and it's like, no, absolutely not, because 100% of your attraction to him is all based on what he looks like and how you feel when you're with him. It's not that you like anything about him, because when I ask her, what do you love about him the most? It was all surface stuff. It's like, oh my gosh, he's so cute, and he makes me laugh, and you know, I have so much fun when I go out with him and his friends, and I love his sense of humor, and you know, he's fun and exciting, and he takes me here, and he spends a lot of money on me. You know, it's just like me. It's all what he can do for her. And I said, well, is he, you know, loving? Is he kind? And it was all conditional. It was like, well, he's kind, yeah, sometimes, if he's going to get something out of it. So I'm like, okay, check that off the list. You know, is he unselfish? Oh my God, no. He's so selfish. That's what I hate about him. So every good quality I would throw out there, she's not knocking down. No, he's not this. He's not that. And I'm looking at her saying, but you have all those qualities. And we love people who mirror our own best qualities. So we look at them and we say, oh my gosh, I love him. But it's because we love that image in the mirror that we're saying, they've got these qualities that I value, that are internal qualities. They're not how pretty their face is. And I'm the pot calling the kettle black. I obviously am, you know, very attracted to the man I love. But I love the inside of him. You know, he could be very handsome still, but if he didn't have those internal qualities and I didn't see my own good qualities mirrored in him, I wouldn't want him. So
right.
I'm trying to make this girl understand this. But she's young and she's got to go through her own mistakes herself. But I see this very tumultuous relationship just destroying her. She's always full of anxiety. And I think in the last 6 months since I've known her, she's probably lost 15 pounds that she did not have to lose. She's just skin and bones because he's working on her self-esteem all the time. He eats away at her self-worth all the time. So she's always reaching for him and chasing him. And he not feeling good about herself. And although she loves what he looks like, she hates the fact that other girls love what he looks like too, and she's always jealous. She's always insecure. So this is like a huge relationship lesson for her in her own self-worth. And until she finds that within herself, and it has nothing to do with the cute guy standing beside her, she's going to keep chasing after toxic relationships like that, where they're continually eating away at her own self-worth. And until you finally find it within yourself and stand up and say, I'm whole and complete unto myself. I don't need a partner. I don't need this guy standing next to me to be worthwhile. I'm worthwhile for all of my own qualities. That's when you'll finally meet the one who mirrors your own good qualities. And that's when you'll finally have the healthy relationship. But you don't get it until you do. And that takes work. For me, I guess it took 7 years, but or 54,
yeah, right?
I don't know. You know, but it's really horrible when you see the toxicity really affecting someone physically. And I see it with her. I've seen it in myself when I've had unhealthy relationships. My body is like you're trapping all this negative energy in your body all the time. And after a while, it starts manifesting physical symptoms, and you're it's like your body turns traitor on you, and you start feeling sick. I was breaking every bone in my body for a while.
Oh my goodness! Wow, I remember we went through that with some real health issues. You know, you're right about that. And I'm going to share this with people too, as well. You too, because I know that you've done this. Get some angel cards. Get them from Barnes & Noble or get them online. Go to Doreen Virtue. I think she's got the best out there. And then you can start connecting with the angels and really getting some lessons, you know what I mean, about why are you here? What are you here to do? What's your soul lessons, right? Because I've asked women, and I have to back down sometimes. Why are you here? Why haven't these relationships worked?
And you're the only constant, right? Because the men are different or the women are different. But you're the only constant. I did that with somebody probably about a month or so ago. They got really defensive with me. I was like, okay, it's time for me to back down now. You know, and we'll take it on another day. Because if you're the only constant in every relationship, then I promise you that person, that man, that woman is here to mirror something inside of you that you need to really look at. I say that to myself. I remember, you know, I went through a real hard time with my own body back, you know, and I healed myself, you know, and you can. But I had to be by myself. And I go, get rid of all the toxic people. Never realizing the most toxic person there was that one looking at me every day in the mirror.
Right.
Yeah, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall. He's the most toxic of all. You are, Therese. And so when I started healing my physical body and then the spirit, you know, spiritual is always healed, but your spiritual body is, and your emotional. There are certain things I will never tolerate, and I promise you that when you ask for help and you can see it right away, people will show it to you right away. And men and women, you will see it right away. And if you think you can change it, you can't. It's not yours to change. You have to change yourself and extricate yourself from that relationship or live with it. It's the way it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But get angel cards. They're great because you can pull cards out and say, what is this guy, girl doing with me today? What do I need to learn today? And then, you know, it'll surprise you. And you go, compassion for him? No, maybe it's compassion for yourself, right? And I went through one of the most challenging relationships with a man at the time, and then I let him go. Best thing I've ever done, right? And, you know, and I've seen women do this and men too as well. But if you can ask for Archangel Samuel's help, ask to balance the karma, and then look internally at yourself. Why have your relationships never worked? And right. Ask yourself that. And sometimes I told this to somebody the other day. I go, is there, you know, raise your standards. That doesn't sound sexy. It doesn't, but I got that super strong the other day. Raise your standards. Would you let somebody treat your daughter, your son like that? Absolutely not. I know. But you raise your standards. If you raise your standards, then you'll attract somebody different. And I told that to the young lady last night. I was like, raise your standards. Okay, I'm going to do it. Anyway, we'll see, right?
It's hard, right. It's so easy to say, but it's hard to do. It's hard to do because until we've healed that wound in us that makes us attracted to those kind of people that aggravate that wound, we're still attracted to those kind of people. It's easy to say, oh, I'm no longer going to pursue somebody who is going to take advantage of me or whatever it is that you're working on. But yet, instinctively, you still are attracted to that quality. And often it's masked. You know, you'll meet someone and you think, oh, this person's different. They're way different than this last person I was with. Well, they may be on a personality level, but yet there's still that underlying issue that they bring out in you. And so you may think they're totally different, but you'll end up 6 months down the road realizing that you've got basically the same issue that you had with the last person who maybe you could clearly see was toxic, but this is like a nicer version of that last person, and they hid it well. You know, they did not come out as overtly something, whatever it is. Like, say I have a problem with greed. The last person I was just so greedy, and everything had to be all about them. And so this person seems so nice, this new person. Well, they are more outwardly nice, but yet they are inherently selfish on the inside, and they want more. They want the most of everything. But you don't see that right away. And so you'll still get this lesson, but it got a different form. Maybe this person has a softer approach. So you feel like, oh, I really made a better choice this time. I've gotten somebody who's not like that. But until you fix that problem, you're going to keep attracting people who aggravate that problem inside of you. And so you really do have to do the inner work first. You have to figure out, what are my issues? Why am I drawn to these people? Was it something from childhood? Was it something I was just always born with? Was it my first love? You know, whatever it was, you've got to identify the issues that you really are challenged with. And when you start really looking at those, it opens your eyes. So when you meet this new person, it'll jump out at you right away. You'll get a little tiny red flag when you're first having this conversation with this person. There's something they'll say or something they do. There's just something about them
that triggers that instinct to go, I need to chase this person because they're giving me this little signal that I may get hurt, you know, because of whatever that issue is that you have. You always get a little red flag right away, but we want to ignore it. But when you finally really done the work, when you finally really are aware of what it is that is drawing you to the wrong people, that issue jumps out at you right away. When you see those tiny red flags, you notice them, and you basically can say to yourself, I am going to take all the love that I was going to probably waste on this person for the next 5 years, and I'm going to give it all back to myself, and I'm just going to walk away and pretend like I've never met them before. And you can do that. Because even though...
Good luck with that, though. That doesn't happen.
Well,
it's so easy.
You know,
it doesn't. I'm just telling you, it doesn't happen that easy. You're making it sound easy, but I've seen you struggle. I've seen myself struggle.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen others
it's
struggle.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
That was my point. You're still instinctively drawn to them. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. But can I tell you something that I do that really helps me, besides calling you or you call me? What are you saying for this guy? Well, Tori, this is what I see. And I'll say the same thing. Now, she's got a steady guy right now who they're going to be together forever, I think. So, but one of the things that I think that's important is when you meet that man or woman, you say, show me who he's like. Show me who she's like. And I'm going to promise you this. You'll get a dream. You'll get an image right away of a person that you've been with in the past or that you know, and you'll know what that person's like. And if you see that, then I'm going to promise you this. The other day, well, not so long ago, I met somebody. I go, show me who he's like. I was like, oh, my gosh, really? And I was like, done. done, right? Because that was such a challenging time for me. I didn't have to repeat that. You just don't, but ask and then believe it.
Right.
That's a hard time thing to do. I'm sorry.
Right.
I didn't mean to say that because I don't. But, you know, you can walk away, you know, and that's hard to do, Di. I mean, I've seen you do it, and I know, but you struggle. I struggle with it and everything, and. You know,
once you learn it, though, I was walking away from a lot of them. You know, once you learn it, you start seeing it right away. It's basically not letting yourself spend time with someone. When you see that red flag right away, it's immediately removing yourself from them before you get attached to them, because that's what people do. We dismiss the red flag and we start pursuing this person and spending a little time with them and saying, well, I'm just going to see what they're like. Before you know it, you're already addicted to that same old behavior. It's you're addicted to that negative feeling. It's the feeling of not being good enough or the feeling of being in control. I mean, it can be the opposite. It's like, I want to control somebody. I have a control issue. And you may see that in yourself and you say, okay, the next person I meet, I'm not going to control. But you'll get this little inkling right at first when you meet them of, oh, this is somebody that I can control. You know, this is somebody that I'm going to have to work to get the power over. And you are instinctively drawn to them. And if you say, well, I'm just going to 1 or 2 dates doesn't hurt. You're boom, you're done because you've ignored the red flag. But you can step back and say, you know what? Like you said, who does this remind me of? And you will get an image of the person who you had a control struggle with, and you can stop yourself from pursuing that before you feel attached to them. So it's really a matter of knowing in that split second, I'm attracted to this person for the wrong reasons, and removing yourself instead of pursuing that. Because even 1 or 2 dates, you know, you're already in that pattern. You're already chasing that same old feeling, which is usually a negative feeling.
Yeah, no, I mean, and you know, we always hear these, like, The Notebook. Wait, some of these love stories, they're great, aren't they? The Notebook, what's another one, you know? Yeah, I mean, all of them. And so we want that great love like that, but we don't do the work on ourselves. And, you know, it's the way it is. And I'm so passionate about this, and I know I am, because I see it so much of it and with everyone. I met a young lady yesterday. And her husband had died, and such a sweet story. Anyway, he had stepped in and took care of her children, been with her for years, and he got sick, and a month later he was gone. He had cancer. And so, I mean, this is the kind of love that we all want, right? And so she got, now she's in another relationship. She's got married a couple years ago. I think her husband, first husband died in 2011. She's been with somebody the first year, not even the second year yet, and he's a jerk. Is he good? Yes, he is a good person. But I, whenever I see this, because I always read, like, with more harshness than probably necessary, because I say, you've got to get this. And, you know, because her husband was channeling to me. But she's going through such a change with somebody now that's not love, that's not all those things. Do you think that's karmic, or do you think that she had a lesson to learn, or he had a lesson to learn? Why do you think that is going through something like that with somebody who's not the best partner? He's pretty he's entitled, he's very selfish. And her ex was not. So what's the story? Why is she going through that, in your opinion, as a clairvoyant, as an intuitive, whatever you want to say, because I know how good you are. So share with us.
Well, what I feel on this one, she was presented with the love of her life originally, and her lesson is in not being afraid to be alone. She had the love of her life. She had the perfect relationship, and then he was taken away from her. And so now it's a challenge to find happiness within yourself and be open to another right person coming in, but without latching on to the first person that comes along that shows up as someone who can fill the void. And I feel like that's part of her lesson, is not being afraid to be alone, because she wants, you know, she's had a glimpse of heaven. It's like you have this perfect relationship,
yeah,
and you have
right.
this little glimpse of heaven, you know, and then it's taken away from you. But the lesson I feel for her is to not be in a race to fill that void. And I don't really feel like she was in a race, but she's been longing. She's been longing for this same kind of relationship, and knowing that you're not going to have, you know, the exact same relationship, obviously. You're going to have a different person, but it can be just as good. It can be just as good as the husband that passed away. But don't settle for less just because you don't want to be alone. And I feel like that is her journey. I don't mean it's going to be a long, long journey of being alone, but I mean her lesson is to not be, you know, so much in a hurry to fill this space that somebody who was right for you left, just to fill the space. And he's,
okay.
You know, he's obviously showing her he's not the right guy. It's not the kind of relationship that she had with her husband. So don't hang on to that just because you want somebody else in your life. Let him go and be alone. Learn how to be happy alone. And then God will send you another person who is just as great, and you'll have just as great of a relationship as you did with the one you lost. But that's so difficult, and it's so hard when you lose someone to death, because
it is for her.
Because
her husband, mm-hmm. I mean, interrupt you, but her husband says to her on his deathbed, he goes, I want you to meet somebody, get married, and be in love again, right? You know, so I was like, wow, mm-hmm. you know, that's her
that's
husband.
That's real love.
And, yeah, I mean, he loves her, and he wants her not to be alone, you know, and he's with, you know, I always feel like you have your son, Mikey, on the other side, that we have these little guardian angels that were family mm-hmm. here or loved ones here. You know, he's trying to help her. But he is helping her, you know. But, man, she's a tough cookie, and I'm glad she is. But she's really struggling with somebody she thought was perfect and is less than perfect. He almost makes her feel like she's the hired help. Remember that movie, Hired Help?
Oh, my God. You know, yes.
Yeah, you know.
But she knows
and,
how it feels when she's not treated like that.
She does.
She's got that memory. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I feel like she'll get that again, but maybe getting it first with herself, okay, then, you know, because you find it with yourself and love yourself and enjoy being by yourself, and then you can be, you know, then you find that person that's just like you, who loves being by himself or herself and loves being with you
mm-hmm.
too. Yeah, I get that. That's a good point. Great, good point. Thank you. You know, too, as well. So, so we'll see. She's a good person now. You know, I have another girl who told me the other day, she goes, I'm okay. I'm by myself at home. I'm okay. She's crying. She goes, I'm like, are you kidding me? Right? So,
I'm okay.
Like, I'm okay. I'm by myself watching underneath the Tuscan sun. She's all boohooing and crying, and I get it. I mean, I cried about relationships, but I'm like, man, you get to watch the underneath the Tuscan sun. You're over there by yourself. You don't have to do anything but lay there and watch that great movie that I like to see myself. And I said, what's your problem? You're getting a dog, you know, that you've always wanted. And so you've got the lump, and you've got the character that you can't, you know, that are done, you're done with, and you're figuring that out. And you got a great new guy coming in, and you're telling me, I'm by myself. It's okay. So I'm like, it's okay. I wanted a shooter. Right? That's my lesson. Okay.
I think she's doing great with the law of attraction, because she's trying to use positive words to reflect a self that maybe she's not feeling. But she's saying, I'm okay. I'm okay. She's trying to talk herself into being okay. I think that's great.
Ty, you're so sweet. She is. And she's a good person. She really is. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say it like that, but, you know, I talk to her, and I get it, because, you know, I like being with a man, and I also like being by myself. So, you know, having the combination, but not everyone's like that. But I guess because you enjoy being by yourself, mm-hmm. you know, so when you really got comfortable with that, then you met your twin soul again, you know, and you guys are having a great time being in love and enjoying one another, right? So,
I think you have to get to the point where you say, you have to be able to say, I'm happier by myself than I am with the wrong person, so I just rather be by myself.
Good point.
Before God finally sends you the right person. Now that you've learned how to be happy with yourself, just by yourself, now I'm going to send you somebody who you're really going to have fun with, you know. And I think you do, You have to get that lesson. And like with the lady who lost her husband, I think sometimes God does, like it drops a gift from God in your lap. Like you get this gift from heaven in your lap, and you don't really appreciate it. It's like you have this great relationship, but you never had to really do the work for it. It's like it just appeared. And I feel like she's kind of getting a lesson now. It's like this great guy came to you when you really hadn't even done any work for it as far as working on yourself. It was just presented to you, boom, a gift from heaven. You had this great relationship, and then he got taken away from you. So now guess what? You're not going to be quite that lucky. Now you're going to have to learn that you have to work on yourself, normally, most of us do, before we just get presented with this perfect relationship. And, you know, she got lucky to have it the first time. She will have it again, but she's going to have to do some work on herself now to feel happy by herself and not be afraid
to
be alone. Sometimes it's like a little flash. It's like, here's a little piece of heaven that you didn't have to do any work for. But now, guess what? And you've got 7 years. 7 years of grueling agony. And then you can finally have him back.
Di. That's Di's story here. By the way, Di, I just got a text from a friend, and she's also a client. She goes, she's a great speaker. And she co-hosts the show, so everybody knows. Di and I co-host the show together. We've done this for years,
we have a lot
situations.
Of fun.
Yes,
thank
we do.
You. That was so sweet.
I
appreciate that.
She's a sweetheart, you know, and Di is really good. She's helped me out so much, but,
it's mutual.
Yes.
We call each other. Why is this happening? Will you look at this? We always say that. Will you look at this and tell me why this is happening? How great is that to have a best friend who can do that?
Yeah, she's one of my best friends. You are my best friend, but I called her the other day. I said, Di, I need you to look at this. And she said, okay. And so I told her this morning, I need you to look at this. I said, I got to have a meeting with this dude. And she said, he is a jerk, and he's still a jerk, and he's always a jerk. I go, he's a little messy today.
Yeah, he's
I've been up all night.
You're tired.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, he's a jerk. He doesn't. He acts like he has a lot of money, and he doesn't. And he doesn't have anything. I'm like, I'm
using you.
I'm
going to use.
You know,
a leopard doesn't take his spots.
You crack me up. So you know, but we do that with each other every morning. So it's all good. Part of my morning rituals, right? Having morning rituals.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's always enlightening, though. It's so enlightening for me because you always see the whys. You always see the whys behind something. So it's how great is it to call somebody and say, you know, this person did something that really hurt my feelings and have it shown to you why there was some hurtful behavior. It had nothing to do with you. You know, maybe they had a fight with their, you know, husband this morning or whatever. Their cat just died. You know, or maybe they're jealous of you. And you can take that and go, okay, I'm going to be a lot more compassionate with this person now. Now I understand they're not hating me. They're jealous of me and or whatever. You know, I'm just using, for example, things that you've told me. And you feel calm. You feel much more peaceful. You don't feel like the world is out to get you when somebody can show you why, what is motivating somebody to be hurtful or mistreat you or whatever. Sometimes it's self-motivated. You know, sometimes it's me. Sometimes it's I'm just drawn to this, you know, situation because I haven't learned my lesson yet. So that's so enlightening. It's so helpful in getting your lessons, learning what you're meant to learn from the situations you're presented with and moving forward and evolving. That's why we're here, to evolve. That's what I believe.
Yes, we are. And I told someone today, I said, you know, I think we all have God inside of us. It's like God's the ocean and we're waves in that ocean. So I always remind myself of it. And I swear, when you really want to change and you want things to be different and look different, if you just ask it, I promise you it does. Today I had such a situation pop up. I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And I just prayed about it, and then it worked out. I was like, wow. The girl, Wowzer. She says Wowzer. Wowzer.
Wowzer.
It worked out. Yeah, I love her. She says Wowzer.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, man, because I thought it was going to be like having a lot of explanation to do, so... Anyway, but we're running out of time, guys, so we've had a lot of fun tonight. But you brought some good points up. I appreciate that, you know, and if change is hard or challenging, but once you do it, it gets easier. So I watched you, when you wanted to find the love of your life, and you're like, I'm going to be myself sign that right now and just get it done.
Yep.
I was like, okay.
It's not going to be the crazy mountain lady who lives up by herself and feeds the deer.
Yeah. The bird. She had a bear come down the other day and take the deer food or the bird food. Oh, you,
well, both. Yeah, he took both.
Yes. Di is a deer whisperer, you guys. She's just amazing with that, and they'll come and eat out of her hands. But she has I think it's funny, you've had the the bear come on your property before on your porch.
Yeah.
And so I'm talking to you, asking, what do you see? And how, you know, and you're going, well, right now I see a bear. I go, what's he doing? He's looking at me. I go, what are you doing? I'm looking at the bear. Okay. Bye. Maybe you should call somebody. Right. She goes, yeah, already dead. And I said, so you're just looking at the bear. He's looking at you. Yeah. We're just staring at each other. So it's Mexican.
A stare down. It was a showdown. Showdown through the window pane.
Yeah. Hey, we have fun. Anyway, Facebook, go to Facebook.com, Angel Coaches, or Dear Angels, because we've got some great letters on there, like some of you have heard tonight. And then also Diane Bucci, you can go friend her. You can find her on my Facebook or Diane Bucci on Facebook. And she's written some great books.
I'm also on Twitter, which I'm so bad. I'm so bad at doing tweets. But I am on Twitter.
Are you on Twitter? Yes.
I hooked it to my Facebook page, so when I post something public on my Facebook, it shows up on my Twitter. Otherwise, I would never have a Twitter post, you know. And then I get these people, so-and-so is following you, and I'm like, how do they even know that I exist? Because I never go on there and tweet.
Well, we have Instagram, Angel Coach's Instagram.
Yeah.
So she's got Twitter, Instagram, so you can hit us up anytime. Anyway, you guys have a great night. We will see you next Tuesday night at 8 p.m., and we'll see you later. Take care, everybody.
Good night.